You can't cross a bridge that isn't there. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Kellogg, and that was Steve Brown. Life isn't a dress rehearsal, and that's why this program, Key Life, is around. Honest, practical, and street-smart Bible teaching for the business of living.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Jeremiah. If you're not in a place where you can open the Bible, just trust that I'm reading it properly as we go along. This is a part of our Old Testament survey, and this is our last week on Jeremiah. Even though I'd like to spend a little bit more time, we're gonna move it. I just want you to know that, because there is more to the Old Testament than Jeremiah. And as much as I would like to pause and rest here for a year or two, we're going to keep on moving and move into another book also written by Jeremiah. We'll do that next week. At any rate, the book of Jeremiah, we're looking mostly this week at the 28th chapter of Jeremiah, and I read that to you yesterday, and I'm not going to take the time to do that, but it concerns a false prophet by the name of Hananiah. And he said some really cool things. He said some really good things. We put the thing in historical perspective. The leaders have been carted away to Babylon, and the inferior leaders remained, and they got the feeling they were something else. And Jeremiah had a message that wasn't really a pleasant message, but Hananiah came along. Now, you got to remember, he was a covenant servant of God. He was just wrong. So Hananiah comes along, and he says, it's going to be okay in a couple of years. God's going to fix this whole mess. Now, that wasn't true, and it didn't happen that way. And Jeremiah was faced with the responsibility of speaking the truth, which he did speak in this 28th chapter. Now, I want to show you, I'm going to look at some things in the 28th chapter about false prophets. And the first thing I would have you notice is the actual prophecy of Hananiah. It was good news to the people who heard it, but the problem was that it was a lie. Listen to what he says. It's in the second verse. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house. And you remember that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out all the gold and precious ornaments from the temple that he brought, the king of Babylon took away from this place and carried to Babylon. Not only that, I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. And the crowd went, yay! Everybody was pleased with that. Problem was that it just wasn't true. Charles Spurgeon used to say, and I've given you this quote a number of times, but it's a good quote. He said, whenever you preach on hell, preach with tears in your eyes. Listen, I wish there was no hell. Are you glad there is, because they're going to get theirs? I wish there weren't. But the problem is there's some bad news in the Bible. And if you're going to teach the Bible, you got to face some of the bad news. Don't just go to people who say what you like. Now, don't go to people either who on the other side say nothing but condemning stuff. I mean, you ever been to a church where every time you were there you just felt dirty and that you were lower than the bottom side of a snake, and you would just go off in a corner somewhere and wring your hands and say, woe is me? You're not supposed to do that. I mean, church is supposed to be a time of celebration when you remember that I'm guilty, but I'm forgiven. So don't go to somebody that always makes you feel condemned. I tell the students at the seminary, if you preach condemnation, if you do prophecy all the time, and you tell people how bad they are, people will come out and tell you you're a wonderful preacher. They'll say you're the best thing since the prophets. And the reason I say that, they say that, isn't because you're that wonderful. They say that because if they don't say it, they'll think that they're guilty of doing the things you talked about. But then I say to them, they're not going to come back next week either. You'll kill your church that way, because there's good news and there's some bad news. But in this case, there was bad news, and Hananiah said it was good news. Right? Don't assume that because it makes you feel good, that it's of God. I used to serve down on Key Biscayne, and there was one bridge that went off the island of Key Biscayne over to the city of Miami. And man, I tell you, on Sundays or Saturdays, when everybody was coming from the beaches on Key Biscayne, you had to figure on a traffic jam, you wouldn't believe. You better take a book, because you're just going to be sitting there. And I often thought, what would happen if the bridge went out? Man, we could die here. We'd be sitting in this traffic till Jesus came back. And then I thought, well, what if the bridge went out and somebody didn't tell you? I mean, what if they told you, oh, it's cool, it's going to be a little bit slow, but you're going to be fine, and you get up there good ways, you're going to really move out. Would they be your friend? Would they be kind in telling you that? Some of you are not believers. And you were flipping across the dial, and you heard this foghorn voice, and you said, well, he sounds reasonably sane, but he's saying weird stuff. I wish I could tell you you weren't in trouble. I wish I could say that God's not angry at you. I wish I could say, God's Santa Claus, and he'll pat you on the back and say everything's fine. I'd love to say that. I bet I'd get a lot more listeners if I could say that. A lot of you guys who are pagans would listen more to me if I'd say, but I can't say that. That's not true. So sometimes there's stuff that sounds like good news, and it really isn't good news. That's one of the problems I have with the whole New Age thing. People are always saying it's dangerous, and I guess it is. You know, they say it's a cult and Satan, and I guess he does. But there are two things that bother me about it. First, it's silly. I mean, man, you get these guys going out holding on to crystals and standing on a mountain and going, I mean, that's not dangerous. That's weird. That's silly. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? But the second thing that really bothers me about it is that it's all good news. If you eat the right foods, if you do the right thing and you say om and you have a crystal, you'll be fine. It's not true. And truth never is all good truth. There is some bad truth. Let me move on here, or we're going to get bogged down again. Second thing I want you to see from this chapter about Hananiah, I would have you notice the hope that Jeremiah had when he listened to the prophet Hananiah speak, the hope that Jeremiah had in his bones that Hananiah was speaking truth. And look at the sixth verse. Now, Hananiah just said, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out. No problem. Jeremiah could have said, you idiot. He didn't say that. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. You know, sometimes we Christians delight in the bad news. And we'd be quite disappointed if the pagans didn't go to hell. I mean, we do get that attitude sometimes, don't we? And Jeremiah is a wonderful example. You know, when somebody gives a false prophecy, I don't get angry and say, you're going to get yours, turkey. God is going to get you, and you're going to roast. And I'm glad that's not the proper demeanor of a man or a woman of God. I often get, as you do, people from cults who knock on our doors and want to lead me to the truth. Generally, when they come to my house, they realize quite suddenly that they've bitten off more than they can chew. I remember a couple of those. I maybe told you this. These young people, they were quite attractive. I was closing the garage door, and these two guys came up and said, "Can we talk to you, sir?" And I turned around and I realized, and I said, "No." And trust me on this, I'm doing you a favor. I'm busy, and there's something else I got to do. And he said, "Well, we just talk for a minute." And I said, "No, trust me, you don't want to talk to me." And then I said, "A lot of people you talk to don't know what they're talking about. I do." And I think what you believe is nonsense. And I'm doing you a favor. I teach at a theological seminary. I'm a Bible teacher. I know what you believe, and I can show you in the Bible why it's wrong. And this young guy said, "Well, I'd like to talk to you." And the old guy said, "Son, come on, we're gonna move on." But you know, when I looked at him, I thought, man, I wish the people I knew who really knew God would be that committed. And I hope God blesses these guys. I hope God calls them to himself. you know, we have a lot of enemies in the world as we've gotten into this war. And sometimes I get so angry. That's legitimate, and it's real. And some of it's righteous indignation. But I heard a preacher not too long ago pray for our enemies that they would come to know him. And I thought, no. I want to be like Jonah and Nineveh. I want to pray that God's going to get them because they deserve it. But as I thought about it, my pastor prayed. I thought, yeah, I don't like it, and I'm not happy about it. But that's the attitude that we as Christians ought to have, because that's the attitude that God had to us. Jeremiah listened to this prophecy. It was all good news, and he hoped that it was true. And our attitude to those who are wrong ought to be one that is loving and kind and gentle and gracious. You know why? Listen up. I'm going to tell you why. Because God, when you were a turkey, was loving and kind and generous and gracious to you. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Faith family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. This is how it works. Whenever you call us, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, you can do that 24 hours a day, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or you write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address and ask to be a part of Key Life Tapes. We'll do it for you. Thereafter, every 7 or 8 weeks, automatically, and they keep coming, as long as you want them, you'll receive a tape. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You have to subscribe to those. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible at Reformed Seminary, the Lake Barclay Fellowship at the Cove in North Carolina, and we send those out to our family. If you'd like to be a part of it, let us know. It's absolutely free, and I mean that. But we have very heavy bills in this ministry, and if you could help us financially, and I realize some of you can't, but if you can, I would appreciate it so much. You can charge it to your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching how to know that you know him, how to get assurance on your salvation. By the way, give us the call letters at the station when you write or call. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.